Do you have stability in your life? There's your question. You think about it. And if you were to present a picture, would your life be like, you know, on a boat cutting through the water, or would it be like on a boat with the waves crashing and just everything getting beat to pieces? Just the first year Trisha and I were married, my uncle Bert, he was macrofishing, and he had asked, wanted to go out for the day, and he had the herring deck on, and so you're kind of up a little higher on the back of the boat, and he asked Trisha if we wanted to go out and just kind of take the day in, and he was fishing, you know, he was selling it, so you could go out and just kind of experience it, and you know, and whatever you catch, you get a percentage of it, and it was kind of like, well, let's do that for the day, you know, to take the money and, you know, grab a, you know, get a nice meal or something, do something with it. So anyways, we went out, and when we got to the wharf that morning and left, it was flat calm, and it was beautiful, and you just kind of cut through the water, and, you know, it was a great experience, and just looking forward to what we're going to experience that day. And then we get out to the fishing ground, and you're jigging and trying to get the mackerel, and we started off, it was fine, but then over time it started blowing a little bit, and then a little bit more, and you're up that much higher on the boat, and it seems like you're kind of rocking that much further, and there was a steel bar that went around the outside that you could hold on to for balance, and we got smashed around one time, and Trisha went to grab for the bar, missed it, and hit it with her head, and just kind of dazed her, and it was just, and that's the way that the weather had taken things. It was just you're getting beat around and beat up, and as opposed to this great experience, you know, she's just asking, you know, when are we going to get in and I can get off this boat? And that's kind of the way life is. You know, there's sometimes you're just kind of cutting through the water, and it's a great experience, and other times you're getting smashed around with the waves, and it's not pleasant. And what I want to talk about today is just it's stability. And we're going to go in Scripture, we're going to the book of Philippians, and we're going to talk about the means. There's aids there as far as more stability in our life, emotional stability, spiritual stability, and there's things that we can put into place. There's practical things that you can do that'll help you as far as it doesn't control all the circumstance, because sometimes it can be wavy. But what it does allow you just kind of cut through those waves and just it not be smashed around and beat up. So we're going to go to Philippians. We're going to read chapter 4, in chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. And this morning, we're going to cover verses 1 to 5, because we're going to kind of look at 1 to 9 as a package, and I'm going to share that this morning. Then the next time I share, I'm just going to continue on with this. But before we get into reading this, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what's presented in it, God. We thank you for this day and your providence. We are here. We're here and we're listening and we're present. And God, I pray that you'd use what is shared to bring about change in our lives for the week that's ahead and the future that's ahead beyond that. So God, we seek you in that and pray your spirit would work in and through us. God, help us. Help me as I share the things that have been prepared, the things that I desire to share, God, may it be used by your spirit and for your glory, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And it reads, Philippians 4, read 1 to 9. We're going to cover verses 1 to 5. It says, therefore, my beloved and long for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Yodiai and I implore Sinchi to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In this verse, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Probably the verse I've repeated more than any other verse in the Bible. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul begins here He tells him to stand fast in the Lord. This word stand fast, this term, where it's interpreted from in the Greek, it's like a military term. It's like get your feet properly grounded, like where you're in a stance. When you're under attack, you're not going to be shot back. Like you're ready. You're able to hold your ground. And it's interesting because that same type of wording is used here, and it's for believers, for followers of Christ, to stand fast in the Lord. And it carries this idea of being able to kind of hold your ground, because the reality is you're going to be under attack. And the Bible identifies three different forces that we all deal with daily: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world being in those influences that are just around us, culture, society, that lead us away from the will of God. And then there's the flesh. There's the internal desires that you and I have that are contrary to the word of God, to the desires of God that we deal with every day. And then there's the devil. And when it says the devil, it's not talking about the individual, the devil. It's talking about spiritual forces, demonic forces, because you and I are probably not dealing with the devil. Satan is one person, but there are demonic forces, and we deal with demonic forces. There's lots of things that go on in our lives. We don't see what's happening, but it's happening. And there's things that are working together against our good and for the glory of God, against the glory of God. And that's a reality we deal with daily. And when we're not ready for attacks, when we're not standing fast, what happens is we fall into temptation. And when we fall into temptation, we lose out in our joy in God. But we lose out in our joy with each other. And it just it hinders ourselves. It hinders our growth. And what's to motivate us is our love for God. Because of our love for God, we're to stand fast. You're to get your feet fully grounded, where you're not pushed back, where you're able to stand against these forces that you have to deal with. And as I mentioned, there's a number of aids that are here that help us, that help enable us to be able to get our feet firmly planted. And this is not exhaustive by any means, but each of these things, they are helpful. They will help you in standing fast and getting better grounded. First of all, it's cultivating unity. Unity in the body of Christ, the church. That's important for maintaining spiritual stability. Early on in the book, Paul shared his concern for unity. Chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So he's concerned about the unity within the church. And then he mentions here in verse 2, I implore Sinchi to be of the same mind in the Lord. You see, the church is described in Scripture as a body. It's the body of Christ. And the thing is, with the body, if everything isn't functioning properly, it's hindered from being able to do what it's meant to do. You ever been out, you ever hammering, and if anybody ever has ever done any amount of hammering, you have your hand on the nail, and you're smashing on this thing, looking to drive it down, and then you miss it, and you hit your finger. I mean, there's this quick time of just intense pain that you're just trying to maintain crying, you know, not crying. And then over time, it just turns black and it swells. And Jackie did it last week, and she kind of inspired me for this week. But what happens is, I mean, just this finger, you get a finger that's all, you know, black and blue and swollen. And it affects the way you function. When you're typing, you've got this big fat finger that's so sore, and you can't, you know, just typing's an issue. I mean, scratching is an issue, because every time you touch it, it hurts. So, I mean, just with smashing a finger, I mean, one finger, this whole body, all these parts, one finger, it just affects the way it functions. And then Paul here, it's interesting because he addresses unity, and it's quite a thing, because as you read this, you're going through the book, and there's deep teachings that are here. I mean, talking about striving to be more like Christ, talking about suffering for Christ. I mean, just heavy, deep things. And then he comes into, and these two ladies are having an issue. It just doesn't seem to fit. I mean, Paul, I mean, there's some deep things you're dealing with here. And two ladies, the two individuals are fighting and, they're not getting along. Is that really something you need to bring in? And he doesn't even mention what they're fighting about. He doesn't even mention what the argument is, what's the issue. And the fact is, it really doesn't matter because what Paul is saying, there's an issue. And the body's not functioning the way that it's supposed to function, and it's hindering these individuals. I guarantee you, it's affecting their joy in God. It just is. It's affecting their relationship with each other. And what is happening, it's causing the body, the church, to not function the way that it should. Here's the thing with the church. Another description of the church is the family of God. And I can tell you, if you have a family that doesn't fight sometimes and get into arguments, then you, your family is just there's something strange, something weird. I don't know a family that doesn't get into some sort of arguments, but a healthy family, they fight and they argue, but what they also do is they deal with it and they look to work things out and they get things right. I want to tell you too, I've warned you this before, you're at this church. I'm thankful this church, I love the people of this church, but I want to warn you, you stay here long enough, you will have an issue with somebody in this church. I guarantee you, you're with anybody long enough, somebody's going to rub you the wrong way, they're going to say something bad you don't like. I want to share some verses with you that you have to be willing to put into application if you're going to be part of the family of God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13, it says this, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." And then it says, "bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Somebody does something, you got to work on forgiving that person, because if you don't, you're going to hinder what's happening in the body. You're going to hinder yourself spiritually. You are. Some other verses here I want to share with you. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. It says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Here's what it's saying. It's to your glory. If somebody does something that just kind of, it's to your glory. God's glorified. If you could just, can you overlook it? Like, do you really have to take it personal? Do you really have to dwell on it? Does it really have to be an issue that brings about some sort of, fight or separation? It's to one's glory. Just kind of overlook it. They're having a crappy day, and I trust they are, and they're just letting out, and it's hitting me, but I'm just realizing, there must be something going on in their life that's not good, because everybody has crappy days. And sometimes there are things that happen, though, that you can't it needs to be addressed. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody. You need to speak to this person who's offended you. Maybe it's ongoing. But Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Meaning, you do all you can to be at peace with others. You're not responsible for how they respond, but you are responsible for how you try to make things right. I mean, if there's just this ongoing thing, talk to the person. Look to deal with it and get things right. In verse 4, Paul, he addresses another means of standing firm, maintaining spiritual stability. And this is so key. It says, "And rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice." I'm going to share Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 with you. It says this, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." I say that because here's the reality in your life, here's the reality in my life. Sometimes circumstances are good, sometimes circumstances are bad. But in the good and the bad, we're to rejoice in the Lord. I shared a few weeks ago, again with this the taste berry in West Africa. This berry, if you eat it, it affects everything else that you eat. Everything has this kind of sweetness to it. It just changes the flavor. And that's the way, as believers, we're to look at the bad circumstances and the good circumstances. And ultimately, all of it, we look under the umbrella of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. And he's in control, and God is allowing certain things for reasons. Maybe we understand, maybe we don't. But God is sovereign. In the good circumstances or the bad. In the bad, just again, just kind of review with you a bit, Romans chapter 8, 28 to 29. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What it's saying, in the messed up things that happen in life, as a follower of Christ, one who loves God, God, he's going to use that in some way. You might see it in the short term, maybe in the long term, but ultimately God's doing something in and through it. We live in a sin-cursed world. There's things that happen that just aren't the way that we want them to be or should be, but God can use that, and he can bring good out of it, and he says he will. And ultimately, in any circumstance, as we're leaning on God, as we're trusting God, he's conforming us to become more like Christ. So in the bad circumstance, you can just look at God. God, you're going to do something out of this. So in that, I can rejoice in you. Not in the circumstance. The circumstance I see is messed up. Like just, you know, this is not pleasant. But God, you'll bring good out of it. In your sovereignty, you're allowing it for some reason. James 1 verse 17. It says this. This is looking for rejoicing in God and the good. And every good and every gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God does not change. Every good gift is from God. So Tota was sharing this week, and she gets mad at me when I share something that she shares. And she was talking to Chloe and a friend of hers, and she was saying, you know, Chloe's friend just got such a kick out of this because she said, you know, I'm so thankful for my family, you know, and I'm so thankful for where we live, and I'm so thankful for squeegees that my mom gets me for my hair. Scrunchies. But it was like, she sees, there's the big picture, you know, it's like, you know, where I live, my family, but then there's scrunchies, you know, $1.99 or whatever scrunchies cost, she's just so excited, but scrunchies. And now that's the thing with God. I mean, be thankful to God for the big things. Be thankful for God also, too. You can turn on a tap and water comes out. And you live somewhere where you can just drink the water that comes from the tap. I mean, just imagine if we stop taking things for granted for just like a little bit, for a short time. Just imagine how exceedingly thankful you and I would be in God. But we take so many things for granted. We don't thank God for the little things. Maybe sometimes the big things, but what about all the little things? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Acts 5, verse 41, just kind of a refreshing view of what happens here. This is the apostles after the death, resurrection of Christ, and they're sharing the gospel of Christ, and this Jesus who was crucified on the cross, died, rose again, salvation that is available in his name, which was in opposition to a lot of people, the Jewish authorities, and they were taken in under arrest, and then rather than imprison them longer, they decide, well, we'll just let them go and tell them to be quiet and stop talking about Jesus. And but what they do is, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. What it means, they were beaten. Doesn't go into detail, but it wasn't a slap on the wrist. It was, they were beaten. And their take on that, it was like, oh my goodness, I was injured because of my faith. Their take on it was, thank you, God, for allowing us to suffer for your namesake. I mean, what a way to rejoice in God. But most people are like, oh, you know, whining and crying and complaining. But no, thank you, God, for allowing me to suffer for your sake. And the final grip that we have here for standing fast and being spiritually stable, it's in verse 5. It says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. God is near. God is watching. This word, gentleness, it has to do with just yieldness. I mean, holding back. And what Paul is talking about, use self-control. He's saying, listen, when somebody ticks you off, and somebody says something that you know, just kind of rubs you the wrong way, and you feel like just ripping them apart and just lashing out and just tearing a strip off them, don't. Don't just hold back. Yield. You know, hold yourself back. This isn't the time for that. Some verses that address this. One I was just reading on the 29th here, June. Sometimes my Bible in Proverbs or 31 books. Sometimes I go to the day of the week, and on the 29th, this was the verse that was there. And it says, a fool vents all his feelings. A fool just lets it out. You ticked me off. Well, I'm just a landia. That Bible says a fool. Not politically correct, but a fool just vents, just lays into somebody. But a wise man holds him back. A fool vents all his feelings. It doesn't mean there isn't a time you need to talk to somebody and it's like, listen, I'm struggling with this. That's good and that's beneficial. You're sharing with somebody your struggles, but this isn't sharing your struggles. This is just blowing at somebody. And Paul's saying, use some yieldness. Don't lay into people. Let your gentleness be known. As followers of Christ, you're not to be somebody who's blowing it at everybody. Your waitress ticks you off. Don't blow it at your waitress. That's not what you want to do. So a family member does something, don't blow it. And I think that's probably where it's harder, because within family, it's like, it seems like we got this green light. You can just blow it at family. If I'm going to fall in anyways, that's where I'm going to fall. My kids, lay into them. What do you think you're doing? And then you got to yield, hold it back. I mean, God is at hand. God knows. God desires for us to hold things back. Another verse that addresses this, Proverbs 15, verse 1. And here we got two courses of action. You can go one way or you can go another. One's a good way, one's not. Proverbs 15, 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How many times have you been in that situation? You know, there's a disagreement, something's going on, and you're at a crossroads. Am I going to, you know, give a dig that really insults and hurts that person, or am I going to say something kind of pleasant and just kind of redirect this thing? And we've all been there. And right there, you have the choice. Are you going to escalate things and make it worse, or are you just going to derail things in a good way and just kind of bring it in another direction? Let your gentleness be known to all men. That's in the church, and I think more in the context, more specifically to the church, but it goes outside the church as far as, you know, you're dealing with unbelievers at work or at home or at school or wherever it is. And what we have before us in these five verses, they should cause you to question. Do you need to change your standing? Are you holding fast? Are you striving for unity in the church? Like, would you be someone just kind of, you know, give some digs, give some insult? Or if you hear something that kind of, you know, frustrates you, do you just lay into somebody? Are you recognizing God as your source of joy in the good and the bad circumstances? Let me tell you, you can find the goodness of God in the good and the bad. As far as your stability, it's just, you're just going to cut right through the waves. Because in the bad circumstance, the waves are crashing in. But if you're finding a way to rejoice in God, you're finding something to be thankful in that, then you just cut through them. Are you opting to let your gentleness be known? Are you just, you know, just exploding? Are you just waiting? Are you like a time bomb waiting to go off and somebody pricks you and you just blow? Or you're just going to use self-control and holding back and letting your gentleness be known, letting the fact that you have self-control, you're relying on the work of God in your life to not change you, because maybe you were someone who just blew up. And stop that. You bring these things into your life, let me tell you, just there's more stability there. You find that spiritually, emotionally, you're just going to be more stable. And God provides us some directions here for us. And the thing is, you can listen to it or you can do it. And listening to it just kind of passes time. Doing it, that'll change your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray in relation to this issue, and I pray for each and every one of us. And I know emotionally, God, some days we're one place and some days we're other. Spiritually, God, some days we're up and sometimes more down. And And God, I pray for each and every one of us. Pray that we would experience more stability in our life, that we would have a heart for there to be unity, God. We'd be the peacemakers. As Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, God. May we be those who seek to find peace. And God, may we also just be those who rejoice in you, rejoice in the good circumstances, God. And God, be those who are able to rejoice even in the bad. Even in the bad circumstances, recognizing that you are sovereign. And God, you're going to work in and through this. And God, even in the midst of that, just thank you for the reality that you are sovereign. And God, I also pray too in regard to just lashing out. And God, that wouldn't be our go-to, God, that we would be those who let our gentleness be known. And God, may we have a testimony, God, that draws other people to you. God, may we not be those who push other people away. And God, I pray you just transform us, you change us. And God, I pray too that as you do a work in our lives, that God, you would use us as vehicles, as means to draw other people to yourself. And may we be intentional. May we see the fact that you have us in various places for the reason of just being a testimony for you, drawing other people to yourself. God, we never look at our faith or our church as a country club. God, may we be those who just see we have a purpose and we have a mission. And God, you desire to use us, and we thank you for that reality. So God, stir us up and change us and do a work in and through us. And I pray as we enter into this time of communion, God, may you use that to just do a work in our lives. As we look back, God, Jesus, to what you suffered, the means in which salvation was made possible for us, God. God, as well as we think of the present and things that we need to deal with or something that's hindering us. And God, too, as we look forward and with anticipation of the fact that Jesus will return, that is coming. And may we anticipate that and look forward to that, and may that motivate us to God, to share and to tell and prepare people for a right relationship and to enter into a right relationship with you. So we seek you in this, and I pray it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.